chapter 4, where we're gonna take a look at what I'm calling the greatest parable. Mark chapter 4. This is what we read. And again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. So when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil, and produced grain, growing up and increasing, and yielding 30-fold, and 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him listen." This is a story that Jesus tells to a large group by the seaside. He tells this story, and then he walks away. And Jesus often taught through parables, through stories. He tells stories, and within those stories were lessons to be learned. And we still do this today. We learn through stories. But you know, after Jesus told this story, many people didn't understand what he was saying. So he gathers together afterwards with the disciples and a few others. And this is what Jesus said in verse 13. He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" See, Jesus talked in stories. He taught through parables. But he says, if you don't get this one, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to be able to understand the rest. So that's why we're titling this series this morning, The Greatest Parable. To understand the stories that Jesus tells, let's take a look at the parable of the sower. And we're going to spend the next 4 weeks trying to understand Jesus' curious story. So Jesus gathers together some of his disciples and a small group of others, and he then explains in more detail this parable. We read in verse 14, "The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away that which is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, they immediately..." God, the truth of it comes in. You could still be on the path, and you know, you could be encouraged. You could hear the word of God. You could read the word of God. You could be encouraged. You could be inspired. You could be motivated. And yet you could still find yourself feeding the birds. You could still find the enemy coming in and snatching that away from you. And what I want to do this morning is help us guard the word so that we're not found on the path. We get a little bit more insight into this parable from Matthew's perspective. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have lots of stories that are told just from the author's different perspective. And this is what we read in Matthew 13, 19. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what's sown along the path. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it..." This word "understand" is suniami. And it specifically means this. Let me read this. "To put together, to join facts into a comprehensive whole." And listen to this. "To arrive at a final or complete understanding with real life application." This is talking about someone who doesn't just understand on an intellectual basis. It relates to life application. You can walk away from a seminar or from reading a book, and you can come away informed, right? You received information. But it's an entirely different thing for you to be able to turn around and know, how do I apply this knowledge tomorrow, in the next day? And that's what this word is here, understand. Let me read it again. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away." See, there needs to be a connection between truth, which is the word of God, and life. If we don't make that connection, Matthew is saying, then you don't understand the word. You don't understand that seed that God's being planted into you. And you're leaving it available for the enemy to come in and to steal it. So you may learn an interesting thing from the word of God, but if it's not real to you, the enemy can so easily come and snatch it away. You know, I think an immediate reaction from reading this story is, you know, we can say, well, I don't think, you know, we try to discern where we are. I don't think I've been on the path. I think that I understand the word and that the enemy hasn't stolen it from me. We believe that, you know, if we remember something, then it hasn't been stolen from us, right? So we think, well, the enemy hasn't stolen the word of Jesus' forgiveness because I remember it. Or the enemy hasn't stolen that sermon because I remembered it. I remember the same message that was preached 5 years ago today. You could after today's service, preach my sermon better than me and think, I know it. The enemy can't have stolen this from me because I know it. But here's the difference. Head knowledge and heart. You can know something on a head level, but understanding needs to go down deep into your heart. Because if that is where it becomes a process of life application. You walk it out. It's not just information, it's application. So this is the difference. Suniyami, understand. Our comprehension of truth has to move into a category of application where we know, how do we live this out? You may have memorized scriptures, and that's great, but we need to know how to walk it out. So this is really about checking out on a heart level, where am I when I approach the Word of God? How do I know if I'm on the path? How do I know if I'm not responding to the Word in such a way that the enemy is coming in and stealing it from me? How do I know where I am? If your understanding of the Word leads towards life application, results, if opportunities come by and you find yourself living out the seed, living out the word that's been preached to you, then you know the enemy hasn't taken away. You could have heard an amazing message about caring for the elderly, and you can become intellectually passionate about living out a biblical life of caring for the elderly, caring for those in need, helping out those who are in times of struggle. And yet if opportunity after opportunity after opportunity come by, And you never find yourself being involved, maybe it's only on a head level. See, the enemy could have stolen away the seed and you don't even know it. You just keep on walking because you can quote all the verses. You can preach the right sermon. But we need to take advantage of those opportunities. So instead of feeding the birds, feed opportunities. Rather than when you hear the word, just thinking about the beauty of the word, go out and find an opportunity. God, give me an opportunity. I need to attach this truth to something because if I don't, it might get stolen from my heart. So don't feed the birds. Feed opportunities. Find ways. I need to apply this because once I've done it, once I've experienced it, I understand it so much better. It becomes so much more rich to you. So, if you find yourself on the path, if you find yourself not too excited when Garrett says, it's offering time. You know the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver and do what you do unto the Lord. And you can say, that's my favorite Bible verse. It can be your favorite Bible verse and yet you're not joyful unto the Lord. And you give, and maybe you give generously during the offering time. But you're having a hard time really being joyful as you give. But there's the other side of that. You could love giving. Giving generously could be your very favorite thing to do. But you stumble across another Bible verse. You stumble across something else in the scriptures and you feel, maybe I'm on the path over here. Where the scripture says, act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before God. Maybe that's a struggle for you. Maybe you find yourself on the path. And so once again, let me reinforce, it's not about, are you a pathway Christian? Are you a rocky road Christian? Hey, that's actually a catchy title. Are you a thorny ground Christian? Are you a good soil Christian, right? Let's work our way up the ranks until we can all get good soil. It's in everything. We find ourselves scattered across the path and responding to the word in different areas. We need to find out and ask those questions. Where's my heart when I hear the word speaking? Where's my heart? How am I responding to this? How have I understood the word? Is it on a head level or is it on a heart level? I want to do a bit of a case study this morning. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And I want us to look at some scripture, and I want us to all ask ourselves honest questions. Where am I at when I confront the truth of God's word? How do I respond? Is this something that I'm interested in and I want to learn about, or is this something that I want to live out? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I love verse 27. Give no opportunity to the devil. When you're on the path, that's what you're doing. You're given an opportunity. The word's sown, and you're calling the birds down. You don't even know it, but you're giving an opportunity for the devil to come and take it. Verse 29, I love this. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. You know, don't you wish this stuff happened automatically? Like, you come to meet Jesus, and you're like, you hear about these different gifts in the Bible. You hear about the gift of tongues, and you think, wow, that's cool. And you think about, couldn't I get the gift of just a new vocabulary in my own language? Can I just work on this one? Let's have, like, all of a sudden, like, I used to know all these interesting four-letter words, and I can't remember them anymore. They've been replaced with hallelujah and God is good. You just wish that happened automatically. Well, it doesn't. It's a matter of looking at it in the Word and responding to it, and not being on the pathway, and not letting the enemy come and steal that away and go, hey, well, that's not really what that's talking about. But being diligent and understanding, oh, I got to walk this out. I'm not going to let any corrupt talk come out of my mouth, but only such as is good for building up. You know, I'm just going to build people up. We have plenty of opportunities throughout our day to tear people down. How many opportunities do we take to build people up? You know, I find more and more I'm noticing the amount of positive things that I say to other people, you know, about other people. So, you know, you're talking behind someone's back, but in a good way, right? You find yourself doing this, and I found myself doing this a lot. Hey, I really appreciate this about so-and-so. I really like how so-and-so was really considerate in this situation. But where I'm challenged is, when do I go and tell that person? I mean, that's great. Let's talk about each other behind their backs in a good way. That's a great place to start. But what about approaching them and building them up and saying, hey, you know what, you did this, and I just thought that was wonderful. Thank you for doing that. That really encouraged me. That really blessed me. Let's build each other up. Let's build each other up. So we hear this verse, and we think, oh man, wouldn't that be great? And then later on Sunday afternoon, honey, did you hear how the guy at the door greeted me at church this morning? He was so rude. Here, birdie. Take the word. Did you see the lady signing in the grandkids at kids' church? Didn't make eye contact, didn't smile, misspelt their name. Wasn't that a great sermon this morning, though? Here, birdie. Take the word. You know, I stood in the foyer after service for 5 minutes right beside Sally. She didn't even acknowledge me. Here, birdie. Let's continue in chapter 30. Sorry, there's not that many chapters in Ephesians. Verse 30. Let's start there. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. I love this. Uh-oh. And along with all malice. I forgot that one. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander and anything else with an be put away from us. Oh, and along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You know, sometimes we think it's unwise to forgive people. We go, I can't forgive Because, you know, well, wisdom wouldn't forgive. That's not wise because they've done this so many times. They've wronged me so many times. That's not good wisdom. You know, I'm supposed to learn from mistakes. So I've just been hurt so many times that it would be wrong for me to forgive them. Is that how God forgave you? Just for those first few times? No. He forgives you continually, ongoing, unconditionally, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. See, when we miss opportunities to apply the Word of God, we're feeding the birds. We're leaving the Word in reach of the enemy, and he comes immediately. Don't miss that word in this parable, immediately. Like, immediately. That dog running towards that stake on the floor. Picture that. Immediately he comes to steal the word. We've got, hopefully you're greeted and given a good greeting on the way out as you leave from here. But, you know, in the way, same way we leave from church on assignment, hey, I'm so excited. I'm going to do what the Word wants me to do. I've been built up. I've been encouraged. I met with other believers. I was able to be a blessing to the community of the Lord. But the enemy, Satan, is also on assignment. He's got the same fervor Sunday afternoon as we do. But he's coming to take it. How can I destroy what's been sown into their lives? He's listening to the sermons online to rehearse how to bring corruption. How many of you listen to the sermons online? Build yourself up. The enemy is on assignment to come and take it away. He wants to steal the word of God that's been given to you. When we miss opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, eventually it's like it's just not, we don't even know, it's not in our heart anymore. It's in our head. We love the message. We're encouraged by it. We know what we should be doing. We might not even know it's been stolen from us. We're on the path. We're missing out on what the word is sowing into our lives. So this is why I love passages like this in Ephesians. Paul breaks down real application here. He addresses some real character issues, some real practical things. These are the things he talks about. Speak the truth at all times. He gives permission to be angry. Be angry, but don't let that anger turn into sin and hatred. And in fact, you know, don't even let 24 hours go by without making that better. You know, it's okay. Paul understands that we're going to have conflict with people. But he's saying, even when you have that, don't even let the sun go down on your anger. When you get frustration about certain interactions with people, pick up the phone and call them. Make it okay. Offer forgiveness. Oh, take them out for a coffee. Figure something out, but don't let hatred build up in you. We got to love one another. It says, don't speak corrupt words, but only build people up. Don't be bitter, wrathful, slander. Don't cause strife or conflict, but instead, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, as God in Christ has forgiven to us. And Jesus painted a beautiful picture in Mark chapter 4. He paints a picture of his relationship with us and how he wants us to respond. He wants us to respond as good soil. He wants us to bear fruit. He's not interested in telling us all the things that, you know, if you're over here and if you're off to the side, this is what your life's going to look like. He's just saying, hey, like, come here. Be a part of this good soil. And he paints this picture to encourage us to know, hey, where am I? I'm hearing your word. But am I living it out when opportunities pass me by? So let me paint a picture for us today. Niagara Worship Center. A place where truth is spoken and lies are never heard. A place where anger is dealt with and resolved in love. A place where the devil is never given an opportunity to receive. I'll say that again. Niagara Worship Center. A place where the devil is not given an opportunity to steal. A place where those in need are cared for and shared with. A place where there's no corrupt talk. There's no inappropriate gossip or slander or language. A place where others are built up. They're encouraged. They're inspired. There's no bitterness, wrath, confusion. There's only kindness. People who are tender-hearted to one another. A place where we forgive each other with such an astounding amount of love that we see God in one another. We say, wow. I've never met anybody but God who would forgive me like you are. You're just continually forgiving me. A place where we walk in the love of God. Can you see it? And you see a community of people gathered in the name of Jesus who don't just hear the word. We're not off on the path. We hear the word and we're guarding it. We're not putting that steak dinner on the floor. We're guarding it. So the word's been given to me and I'm going to cherish it. And when I find an opportunity, God's going to help me carry it out. And hey, if I miss that opportunity, that's okay. God will give you another opportunity. And you can take that opportunity to go. And what I don't want to do is have us think that, oh, if the enemy's stolen the seed from your heart, he's stolen something from you, and you think, oh no, is this only on a head level? What's Tim trying to say here? No. All you got to do is find one more opportunity, live it out, and there it is, fell right back into your heart. See, the enemy can't steal something for you that you can't get back. You can get it back a lot quicker than he can steal it because you've got the power of God inside you. So what I don't want anyone to leave here worried. What's the enemy stolen from me? What revelation have I lost? How many things do I only know in my head but not in my heart? No. You just say, God, whatever it is, if I've missed something, give me another opportunity and help me walk it out. Help me take back what the enemy's stolen. Let him who steals steal no more. So the word, God's word, has been sown among us. Don't be a word feeder. Be a word keeper. Don't feed the birds. Don't call them down to come and steal what God's given you, but say, you know what, I'm going to keep the word. Let's resolve to be a people who love each other. Extend forgiveness. Even before you hear an explanation from someone, wouldn't that be amazing if you just decided to forgive someone, like before you even knew the reason why? Someone does something wrong to you, you should go, I forgive them. I don't know, maybe what they did was intentionally hurtful, and they did it to just out of the core of being a really bad person. Let's just go like worst case scenario. How powerful is it if we said, no, I'm just going to forgive you anyways? Do you imagine the freedom you would walk in? I'm just going to love you anyways. Jesus treated me that way. Why can't I treat you that way? Let's walk this out. Walk out what Paul has for us, what Jesus has for us. See, if you've never personally asked God to forgive you for your sins, if you've never declared Jesus as your Lord and expressed faith in him, I want to call you today to get on the good soil, to walk off the path, and to encounter a God who forgives you time and time again. Ask everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes. And if there's anyone here this morning who wonders if they're even near the path, if they're even within reach, if they've been had enough opportunities to hear the word of God, to even respond to it, or even those who have had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and you find yourselves, the word's been stolen from you. You just didn't act upon it. You heard a message. You've been encouraged about how the Lord can forgive you. But you've never stepped out and made that decision. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to let his love come in and change my life. I'm not going to let the enemy steal this word. Not today. Not today. If that's where you're at, I invite you to stand this morning. I want to pray with you. If you want this word to produce change in your life, you've never done so before, but you don't want another day to go by without the word being applied in your life, I invite you to stand and we can celebrate with you, pray with you. Call the worship team on up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word which you've sown among us. That God, may we be a people who find ourselves on good soil. May this be a place where the enemy will not steal the word. That this word goes down deep. That you give us, Holy Spirit, opportunities this day, this week, to find ourselves walking in love, responding to what Paul has written, that we would extend forgiveness, that we would extend grace to others, that we would not have inappropriate communication, but we would build each other up Thank you for giving us opportunities to do so, God. Thank you for bringing about a change in our lives where we can be standing on good soil. And when we hear your word, we go, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm just going to do that. I'm going to trust in you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sowing your word among us. And may we not go without reaping a harvest where we would find, oh, this is good soil. We're on the good soil. In Jesus' name, amen.